Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 15, question 37. What dost thou understand by the word suffered? That all the time he lived on earth, but especially at the end of his life, he bore in body and soul the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race, in order that by his passion, as the only atoning sacrifice, he might redeem our body and soul from everlasting damnation and obtain for us the grace of God, righteousness, and eternal life. And then question 38. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? That he, being innocent, might be condemned by the temporal judge, and thereby deliver us from the severe judgment of God to which we were exposed. And then finally, question 39. Is there anything more in his having been crucified than if he had suffered some other death? Yes, for thereby I am assured that he took upon himself the curse which lay upon me, because the death of the cross was a curse of God. As we continue to consider particularly the questions of the questions and answers in the Heidelberg Catechism, you can see here that in carrying on with the exposition of the Apostles' Creed, the Catechism continues to draw our attention to the implications, to the fuller meaning of the words of the Apostles' Creed, but then also of the facts, of the historical actions that it relates. And so with regard to the little word suffered, there's a fairly significant expansion of what it means. We're told about the sufferings of Christ in their extent. They didn't start at the end of his life, but they accompanied him all the time he lived on earth. And they also tell you about the intensity or the quality of those sufferings. He bore in body and soul the wrath of God against the sin of the whole human race. All of that is involved in the little word suffered. And then again, when we come on to question 38, it not only picks up the wording of the creed that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, but it now highlights, the question itself highlights something about Pilate. Why did he suffer under Pontius Pilate as judge? It's reminding us of Pilate's official position, of the role or the rank that he occupied within the Roman administration of Judea. And then finally, in question 39, when it asks if there's anything more in his having been crucified than if he'd suffered some other death, we're being asked to think about hypothetical alternatives. We're being asked to consider that the way, the manner of Christ's death also conveys a significant fact. Well, when you put all of that together, what do you get? You get that the Catechism is not only teaching us what is true, it's also inculcating in us a habit of mind where we think, where we consider. In fact, one of the good things to do in a catechism class is to let the students answer the question in their own words before we get to the actual words of the catechism to encourage, I was going to say force, but to encourage them to think about what is being driven at here, what is being communicated. Now, sometimes if they're diligent, you can't do that because they've already memorized the answer to the question. But you can still try to encourage them to think about how these things all go together. So the Catechism does more than communicate information. The Catechism also trains us in an approach to the truth that we've been given, an approach that's thoughtful, an approach that's meditative, an approach that digs into the details, that compares and contrasts, that takes many factors into consideration, so that if we really internalize the Catechism, we can't help but be thoughtful Christians.